Okay, Shukarach, everyone, for coming, especially after Atinus. And I was nervous myself about giving a shiur after Atinus, and I think it was a schus of the shiur that I was able, Baruch Hashem, to make through the fast. The sheet's over there if you want. And usually Thursday night we have a special Ma'ar B'chaim Seder, and it's coming up to Rav Chaim Zatzal's second Yahrzeit, Shushan Purim. And last year I gave a shiur, Leilui Nishmasai, and all these different, many of his different Vertloch on the Megillah. This year I tried to find some things about the topic I wanted to speak about. I didn't exhaust the search, but I didn't find it easily. So, but it still be a schus for Chaim's neshama, Shemayu Yosef Chaim ben Yaakov Yisrael, continues to inspire us with all the Torah he left over. And it should also be a schus for my father, who had a procedure this morning, Elazar Elimelech ben Shlomish Charno. So I wanted to speak a little bit about a sugya that we're all sort of familiar with on some level. And of course, as with every area of Torah, you start digging a little bit, and you realize how deep it really is. And it's a yam she'in lehem soif. So let's discuss a little bit about Haman. We all know Haman descends from Amalek, and we all know we have a mitzvah to eradicate Amalek. But let's go back to the beginning. Where does it all start from? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin in Parachelik tells us that Menashe made a mockery of certain psukim. He didn't understand why certain psukim had to be in Tanakh and what were they doing there. And one of the psukim he said is, what do we need to know the fact that Achayis Loitan was Timna? Why do we have to know at the system? The end of Parshas Vayishlach, we have various descendants of Esav being listed. And why does it have to say the sister of Loitan was Timna? What does that do for us? Maihi. So the Gemara says, okay, so obviously Menashe is wrong. We need every part of the Torah. So what is this pasuk teaching us? So says the Gemara, Timna bas Malachim Havya. Timna was a descendant of royalty, of dynasty. Dechsev, like the Pesukim there say at the end of Ayishlach, Aluf Loitan, Aluf Timna. Aluf is, Chol Aluf, says the Gemara, is Machusa B'loit Taga. So it's some governmental position, not necessarily the king, but some head of some branch of government. So Loitan was the brother, Timna was the sister, and they were, you know, both of royal descent. And he Boyel Igure, and Timna wanted to convert, and she wanted to join the fold. Basa Eitzel Avram Mitzvah V'Yakov. So she came to the Avais. Now, the various Mepharshim deal with is it possible that she could have been by all the Avais? It might not be physically possible that she would have been by Avram Mitzvah and Yaakov. Maybe at least she went just for short to Yaakov, maybe also to Yitzchak. But okay, be as it may, she wanted to come join the whatever the Jewish tradition of that day was. V'loi Kiblua, and they rejected her. They refused her, which is very fascinating. Avram and Sarah brought in many gayrim and gayrois. They brought in lots of men and women, tachas kamfei Ashkina, but for various reasons they rejected Timna. And again, it's not clear, at least in the Gemara, why that is. The Mepharshim give different reasons, but we're not going to focus on that right now. But she was rejected. So Holcha, she was obstinate. So Holcha v'haisa pilegesh alifas ben Esav. So she decided that she'll have this relationship as a pilegesh, which is not a full wife, but sort of a half a wife, we'll get to that in a minute, to Alifaz, the son of Esav. Amra, so Timna said, Mutav te shivcha lumazu, I'd rather be a maidservant in this family, meaning a pilegesh, I'm suffering for, you know, I'm gonna settle for, you know, to get in somehow, sneaking through the back door, so to speak. I don't want to be a princess or a queen for another nation. I want to abandon where I come from, and I want to get as close as I can to the descendants of Rav Mitzvah and Yaakov. And she was rejected from the main stream descendants, and she somehow linked into Esav descendants. Nafak minei Amalek. So from Timna descended Amalek, the Tsarinu li Yisrael, who was and is a continuous thorn on the side of Klai Yisrael, bothers Klai Yisrael, my taima. Why did Amalek descend from her? Delay iboyeluhu l'rachka, because the Avais should not have pushed her away. So again, we're not going to discuss right now exactly the back and forth, maybe different Mepharshim discuss why she was rejected. But at face value, the Gemara is telling us Amalek is a punishment for Klal Yisrael as a descendant of Timna, because Timna was mistreated or was sent away from Klal Yisrael, whatever early edition of Klal Yisrael was at that point, and she should not have been sent away. And from that, Amalek continues to proclamate and causes trouble at Bias Goyal. So just the next source number two, is just a simple shot from the Sefer Sifsei Chacham, which is a great Sefer on Masechtas Megillah, and two other Masechtas, and he's coming from the Medrash, just gives us the family tree of Haman. We all know Haman was the descendant of Amalek, although of course that does not go down without a Machlaikis. The Aris Devash and others discuss at great length this, but we'll just go with the simple pshat that we learned from the earliest age, that Haman comes from Amalek, and I'm not going to go through all the names because I don't even know how to pronounce all of them, but basically you see the descendants. Haman was Echad v'esrim Doris m'esav Asha. Haman was the 21st generation from the descendant of Esav, and you go through that whole list, it comes out he was ben all the way to the end, Ben Amalek, Ben Eliphaz, Ben Esav Arasha. Okay, so we have this lineage for Haman. Now, so we link now Haman back to Amalek, and that's going to make a lot of sense because we know Haman tried to cause a lot of harm to the Jewish people. Now, just to understand a little bit the idea, why did Timnah only become a Pilegesh? Why did she not become a full-fledged wife? I don't know for sure the why. I wasn't involved in the Shidduch. But a side, we can explain as follows. What's the difference between a Pilegesh and an Isha? So Rashi tells us in Parshas Chayesara, when it talks about that Avram took the Pilagshim, Rashi says Pilagshim there is Chaser, and because it's Peleg Shem, meaning that an Isha is a regular wife, gets a Ksuba, and a Pilegesh, says Rashi, without a Ksuba. So what's the difference between a woman with a Ksuba and without a Ksuba? Because we know Ishvi Isha, they're going to explain, based on Chazal, Shri Yishchina B'nei, right? The Isha has the Yud, the Isha has the Hey. That's the first half of Hashem's name, the Yud and the Hey. Where does the Vav and the Hey come from? That's from Ksuba, right? Why is it called a Ksuba? It could just call it a Ksav. A husband gives a wife a Shtar, a Ksav. Why is it a Ksuba? The extra Vav and the Hey there are the extra part of Hashem's name. So a Isha gets a Ksuba, that's the Vav Hey, with together with the Yud Hey of the man and the woman. That's Shechina Shruya B'neim. Pilegesh doesn't get a ksuba. It's not a full-fledged marriage and doesn't have the full-fledged responsibility. So that's Peleg Shem. And that's the same idea, as far as Magdashim explained, what happened with Amalek. Amalek, the Pasuk says, the end of Bishalach, right? It says, Ki yod al kes ka Hashem ba Amalek midar dar, right? What's case? Case, Rashi says, means kise, the throne of Hashem. Why is it spelled chaser? Because Rashi there explains at the end of Bishalach that the Shem of Hashem cannot be shalem, cannot be complete until Amalek is completely eradicated. So Amalek is descending from an area of Pilegesh. Pilegesh is this concept of not having a complete Shem Hashem in a union, and that's causing the Shem Hashem to completely not be whole until it be Eskel Tzedek. Just to, you know, you put the pieces together, it comes together that Amalek, who is causing the period of Hashem Hashem now in this world, is descending from a relationship of a Pilegesh relationship, which itself is a lacking relationship, and therefore doesn't have the complete Shem Hashem. Okay, that's a little backdrop, basic, short version of the history of where Haman descends from. So now let's jump to source number 3, and we have the Gemara there bring us a Braisa. The Gemara there says, Tana, Namon Ger Toshavaya, okay, Nuvazradon Ger Tzedekaya, fine, that's for a different time. The Gemara tells us that some descendants of Haman, they learn Torah and Bnei Brak of all places, right? We don't just say they learn Torah. We give specifics of where they learned. Okay, Mibnei Banav Shal Sisra Lomdu Tinoikis B'Yerushalayim. They taught Torah in Yerushalayim. Mibnei Banav Shal Sancheirev Lomdu Torah B'Rabim. Maninu, who were the descendants of Sancheirev? Shemaya V'Avtalion. So the Gemara tells us who the descendants of Sancheirev was. Doesn't tell us who the sense of Sisera was. Some of the Rishonim say that was Rabbi Akiva. And the Bnei Banav Shal Haman, the Gemara doesn't tell us. But if you look in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the same exact Gemara as here it is in Gittin. But in the Girsa of the Ein Yaakov, which is Baruch Hashem, we just got a beautiful new version of it. The Girsa is a little different. It says, Bnei Banav Shal Haman Lamdu Torah Mibnei Brak. And that's source number 4. And the Ein Yaakov adds in, who is that? Umanu Rab Shmuel Bar Shilat. Shmuel Bar Shilat was a descendant of Haman. Okay, if you go through Shas, you'll see it comes up a few times. Just for a point of reference, I quoted in source number 5, there's a great sefer called Encyclopedia L'Chachmei Talmud. They do you the favor of quoting all the Tanayim and Amorayim and give you a little brief sketch about each one from different Gemaras. And there he quotes some of the Gemaras of who Shmuel Bar Shilat was. He wasn't just, you know, Stam and Amayra. Says the underlined, they're just quoting Gemaras. Haimalamit Tinaikis. He also was a great Rebbe. Sha'asa malachto be'emuno rabba. He was very dedicated to his job. Ad kiyoy l'samel ha'moira ha'neman v'ha'maso tamidav. He was like the poster board Rebbe. This from Shmuel Bar Shilat, who's descended from Haman, was like the Rebbe of Rebbes in those days, in the times of the Amoraim. It says over there further in the left column, Ad kidei kach ha'yomaso l'avoydes ha'ira v'achinach ad shemesach sholish esrei shon lo'y notel la'atzmai chuf shaklal. For 13 years, he never went on vacation, right? A child's nightmare. The Rebbe never left, right? But we're using that here to be madgish the idea. This was Shmuel Bar Shilat, was so dedicated to teaching Torah. He wasn't just a job for him. This was his lifeblood. He quotes another Gemara there. The Rav once saw him walking in a garden, and Rav says, what are you doing taking a walk? Like, you're supposed to be teaching the kids. He says, no, I'm here, I'm thinking about preparing my lessons. You know, don't think I'm on vacation, right? I'm here preparing, and he's here learning. And this is a Shmuel Bar Shilat, and we'll try to enter and understand a little bit why Dafka he excelled necessarily in this Nakuda. Of course, he was a great tzaddik, he's one of the Amarayim, but why specifically he excelled in this idea of teaching Torah. Okay, so the Kedushas Levi, Rabbi Levi talking about Ditchim, in source number 6, is coming to answer just a basic question. Amalek is the source of Tzar for Klai Yisrael. Haman is the descendant of Amalek, and we know the Purim story, we're not reviewing that right now, of everything Haman tried to do. So how was Haman's Zoyche that some of his children ended up in Bnei Barav, Lomdu Torah B'Bnei Brak? I mean, that's, we all wish and aspire that our descendants will be able to learn Torah. So how did Haman, who was a Rasha and had the worst of intentions possible, merit that at least some of his descendants ended up Jewish and teaching Torah? So Klushas Levi says a very interesting idea. He says, it's the middle of a shtickle on Eicha, and this in Shul, the minig is, everything always ties back to Tisha B'Av. So even though we're talking about Purim, it's going to tie into Tisha B'Av, right? So Zakhtar Levi Yitzchak, the dark, I'm just going to read where I underlined a little bit just to get the main idea over here. The dark says chesed and kol abrius. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always acts in a way of chesed with the brius, with the world at large. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to punish those people who rise up against Klai Yisrael and has to cause a great revenge against them. And zeu chesed lehem. And really that ends up being a chesed to them. Masha HaKadosh Baruch Hu makai som. Why? Ki al kein niskadei shmoi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the greater the downfall of the wicked is, the greater the Kiddush Hashem is. Look how wicked this person was. He tried to do, we'll get to the examples in a minute, something against Klal Yisrael, and Hashem causes great mapal to him. So now a great Kiddush Hashem comes about. So through this, the guy was wicked. He was evil. He had the worst of intentions. But at the end of the day, a great Kiddush Hashem comes out. What's the examples? Kamei Paroi, V'Sancheirev, V'Homon, V'Sisra, Sha'ayodam, Niskadosh Shmo Yisbarach. All these Rishoyim, at the end of the day, caused the great Kiddush Hashem by their downfall. So from their descendants of the various Chazals, that they all got close to Hashem. And we're just going to focus, obviously, on Bnei Banav Shel Haman, the next column there. So comes out to Chesed, the fact that they're suffering so much in this world, from their descendants, etc. So the Kedushas Levi is just saying a very interesting idea. It's a little counterintuitive, right? The idea is that Haman, with all his wicked intentions, and he was a wicked man, and he's from Amalek, which has to be eradicated, but at the same time, since he caused such a great Kiddush Hashem, the Gemara says, right, G'dayla Hasaras HaTabas, when Achashverosh took off the ring to give it to Haman, it caused such a outcry of tshuva from Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael was not listening to the Nevi'im, didn't listen to Mordechai HaTzadik, but when they realized that there's a noose around their necks now, and Haman is going to come and kill everybody, tshuva started happening en masse. So, right, so that schus that Haman had was a schus that a little bit, one nitzai, so to speak, of Kedusha that comes out of that is that from his children will be zoiche to be lomdu to Torah, be rabim, and b'nei brak. And of course, mi tovim ruba, that if we are zoiche to do other things that are mekadesh shem shemayim, we would not to be a Haman to be zoiche bez Hashem to have worthy descendants. Okay, so that's again the idea of Haman, where he comes from, Amalek. And this idea that he had this descendant of, or at least one of them, Shmuel Bar Shilat and others, great tzaddikim, and this idea of the Kedushas Levi, that he was zoiche to it because Dafka, he caused the great Kiddush Hashem. Now comes the problems. And this is basically going in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. We're aware that Shaul HaMelech falls and David HaMelech is about to rise to power. And who kills, there's a whole story of how Shaul HaMelech dies on a sword, etc. We're not going to chaz over the whole end of Shmuel Aleph and beginning of Shmuel Beis. But this lad comes over to David and tells David the whole story of how Shaul HaMelech died or was killed. He said he killed him. So Vayomer David, at the end of this, David tells the child, Elanar Hamagid Lai Emize Ata, where are you from? Who are you? Like, where are you coming from? What's your background? Like, how'd you end up in this situation? Vayomer, and this child, this young man, responds to David, Ben Ish Gera Maleki Anoichi, I am a son of a Gera Maleki. And David gives him muster and says, how can you not be afraid to send your hand against the Mashiach Hashem, against Shaul HaMelech? And that's the end of him, the chop of his head. He gets killed. Says the Medrash in source number 7, Yalkut Shemayni there. Vayomer David al Nar, Magiloy Emiz Ha'ata, Vayomer Ben Ish Gera Maleki Anoichi. Says the Medrash, it's not from the Psukim, but the Medrash says, Niskar David Ba'isa Shah. So David remembered at that time, Mashinem Ala Moshe Rabbeinu. Im Yavai Echad Mikol Umos Ha'olam V'yizgayir Shikablu Ha'isai. The Umayyads come, they want to convert, we let them convert. So do not retake any converts from the Zera of Amalek. And therefore, according to the Medrash, that's why he got killed. So now, this is a very hard Medrash to understand on many levels. We're just going to approach it from one angle right now. Where does it say, this is not in the Torah anywhere, right? We don't have anywhere that we have, that means they can't marry, they're allowed to convert, right? Means an Amoy Namavi male who converts, his conversion is valid, he just can't get into the fold of marrying. A Mitzri, so there's a whole way of, a Mitzri gets into Dugeris after a few generations, but eventually let them into the fold. Now, we don't like Amalek, we have to eradicate them and wipe them out. But where does it say anywhere that they have to be wiped out? It's not clear. But David HaMelech had this b'mesayra from Moshe Rabbeinu that you can take anybody except from Zera Shal Amalek, and therefore, it seems like that's why he killed him, according to the Medrash at least. Now, if he's a Yid, how can you kill him? Right? If he's not a Yid, and he's a guy, maybe he killed Shal Amalek. Okay, so then maybe you can discuss it. But if he's a Yid, we don't just, we don't just chop off people's heads because they said they descended from a Ger Amaleki. Who converted his father, right? He didn't convert. He said his father converted. So these are a lot of problems, a lot of questions on this. We're not going to be able to answer all that, but we're going to primarily focus on this question of if you can't accept Geirim from Amalek, which the Medrash is telling us as the halacha, how did Bnei Banav Shal Haman end up in yeshiva? Right? We just said the Gemara before clearly stated that Bnei Banav Shal Haman lamdu Torah b'Bnei Brak. And this Medrash is clearly telling us that everybody besides Zera Shal Amalek can get into Klal Yisrael. And we said before in source number 2 from the Sisei Chacham, the simple understanding of our tradition is that Haman descended from Amalek. So if Haman comes from Amalek, and you can't accept Geirim from Amalek, so how does his children end up, or his grandchildren, descendants, end up in yeshiva? So this question has bothered many over the centuries, and we'll discuss tonight 4.5 teruts, and hopefully to this question. And the first teretz I want to share is from the Chidah. Chidah writes about this in a few, the Chidah wrote over 70 Svarim, and in a few times in the Svarim he talks about it, but here in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, over there in the Sefer Pesach Inayim, he discusses it, and he brings the question in the name of the Sefer Iyun Yaakov, which is on the bottom of the Ein Yaakov. The Ein Yaakov, Iyun Yaakov asked this question over there on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and leaves this question with Tzarachin. And again, the question we're asking is, if the Medrash is clearly stating that you cannot accept Geirim from Amalek, how do we have this Chazal tell us that Bnei Banav Shal Haman Lamdu Torah B'Bnei Brak? So the Chidah wants to suggest, based on a Rambam, the Rambam, I'll just read from some a few lines down. It says, "Divrei Rambam and Hilchos Isurei Biyah, shekasav kol ha'goyim kulam kishe yizgayru v'yikablu lehem kol ha'mitzvos shebetayra, harein ki yisor l'chol dover." Mashma, the gamba amalek kam geirus. For the way the Rambam brings this halacha of geirus doesn't say this except like the Medrash says. It sounds like the Rambam's paskening we can take geirum from anywhere. Daka pasuk v'tani kol ha'goyim kulam. He brings that also the Rambam Hilchos Malachim. So says the Chidava, "Efshar loyim adar Rambam lechosh l'mechilta." The Rambam is basically ignoring the Medrash. Mishun de Savar, the Hadam Bishas, Nebav Shalom, Alam du Terbim Nebrak, who hepech hamechilta of Pasuk Gimorn. So, a very simple halachic teretz that we have this, and it's not the first time we have this, that we have a machlaikis either in a Gemara or a machlaikis in a Gemara and a Medrash. And says the Rambam, says the Chidah, the Pshat of the Rambam is, we pass like the Gemara. The Gemara is a raya that we can recabble game from Amalek. And therefore, there's no question. The Medrash says that David had this Messiah from Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, that's one Pshat in the Medrash. But we have a Gemara which says not like that. Bnei Banav Shal Haman, so the Gemara trumps over a Medrash, and Shalom Ha'isra halachically says the Chidah, we can accept Geirim from Amalek. So this makes David HaMelech even more shver, because if what the Medrash is saying, David HaMelech killed a guy who was a full-fledged Yid, right? If according to what the Rambam's passing, we accept a Geir from Amalek, that means this kid who was telling over the story, David HaMelech, was a full-fledged Jew. And David HaMelech still felt, because whatever it was, Hayra Asha, whatever the reason was, he felt he can kill him. Moving right along, the next teretz, attempt number 2, this is from the Sefer Einei Kol Chai from Chaim Falagi, the great Sephardic Rav of Turkey. And he says, a little different than the Chidah, he brings us the Iyun Yaakov, I'm sorry for the old print, but that's all I have in Leitzer HaChachma. About 4 or 5 lines down, he says, V'tochen Laimar, da heter she kiblu hainu shebasan cherev. The reason why we're Makabal Geirim is because the Gemara says in other places that Sancheirev came, one of the great generals, Sancheirev, and is Mavaval Kol Umois. V'chol Deparish U'Reparish, V'shuv Afiyah Ruach HaKadosh, B'anshe Kness HaGadalav, V'neskal Lehem B'nevuah, D'Bnei Banav Shel Haman. Meaning that really, Sancheirev came and was Mavaval all the Umois. We have this in other places in Shas as well. So we don't know who's from which nation. So when someone shows up at Bezdin, even if they want to do a background check on him, it doesn't help for anything, it doesn't make a difference. Because everything is all mixed up. The nations are not where they were. Everyone got misplaced. So no one has lineage, so to speak, back to their mother country. So we're not worried about if someone came from Amalek anymore, called the Parish, Ruba Parish. Everything is easy. And the Gemara says, it's because subsequently Chazal had some Ruach HaKadosh, some blitz of Ruach HaKadosh, that they realized that these were actually sons of Amalek. but it didn't affect their geiris because they snuck in once on Kherev was a vavel all the umais. And again, it's a very halachic teretz of telling us basically that we don't have to worry about the halach anymore. How do we paskin? Says the Rav Chaim Falagi, same idea. Anybody shows up nowadays to Beis Din, we take him open arms as long as he's legitimate, and we could be megayrim.
Because
we don't assume he's a Amalek. And it happened to be, Chazal told us later that these people in Bnei Brak happen to be descendants of Amalek. That was a Ruach HaKadosh. But, you know, that wouldn't affect their Geiris. Because once we have a din, it's halacha, it's a chayim, it's a valve of the umais. So even our people, we don't paskin on Ruach HaKadosh, and therefore we're not going to paskin that they can't be a Geir. I don't know. It's still hard. I can't. Yeah, it's a hard situation. Moving right along, source number 10, Rabbi Yosef Engel. We're out of the Sephardi camp now, and we're into Polish Yidden. And Zok the Heliger Rabbi Yosef Engel, the first few lines, he's quoting the question, and he says after the brackets, he says loy kosher midi. I have another halachic way to get out of this problem. The mishkachas beisha mizera amolik shenisus laakum. It's very simple. The Gemara just said from a descendant bnei bonav. It doesn't mean literally ben achar ben. It could be there was a woman there, so to speak, in the lineage. Maybe it was Haman's daughter or someone's son, daughter, etc. So once a woman gets involved in the equation, that breaks the lineage. Only time by umas oilem it goes achar ha'av, it's paternal lineage. So anytime there's a maternal lineage in there, so you don't link them back to Amalek. Bisha mizera Amalek chinsus la'akum she'ena mizera Amalek v'yodloi ben. So, do we accept Gehen from Amalek? Says Gagani Ashas, maybe not. We don't accept Gehen from Amalek. But that's only paternal lineage. And B'nai Bonav Shel Haman means they were maternally linked somehow to Haman. So it's not a problem. The Marsham and Chuvis says the same teretz as well as this Rebasif Engel. So it could be still, according to this Rebasif Engel, we could still paskin Ein Makam Gehen from Amalek. Right, because maybe the Medrash is right, but I mean, he's not going to Rambam. He's saying you don't have to argue on the Medrash, and the Gemara could still shtim with the Medrash by saying that the Gemara is talking about maternal lineage, and that wouldn't be a problem. So far, we have three halachic type of answers. What happened over here? Again, the steer is the Gemara says that means they were Yidden. The Medrash says we have Mesoya from Moshe Rabbeinu, Eimakam Gan from Amalek. The first teretz we said was from the Chidah, that the Bavli argues in the Medrash, and we pass like the Bavli, that's the Rambam Paskins. Second Teretz of Chaim Falagi was saying that Basan Cheru Bilbo Sakol, so again, we don't have to worry about where they came from. And we, how does the Gemara know that they came from Be'avon Shalhaman? That's the Ruach HaKadosh. And the Rabbi Yosef Engel is saying the idea that if it comes from maternal lineage, you don't have to worry about the fact that they have somehow linked back to Amalek. So the Gemara happened to be telling us in about Be'avon Shalhaman, it's like FYI, it's an interesting fact. But it has no halachic significance because it was not paternally linked to Haman. Comes along the Emek Bracha, Tam of the Briskerov, and he's very bothered. He quotes, it's cut out in the first part, but just quoting the Gemara in the Medrash there. And he says, the bottom right column over there, says, Hinechayra mashma, the gamba di'evid, and kimlu gerim izera malek, enam nasim gerim. From the Medrash, it seems to imply that the pashtus is, if someone comes from Amalek, you can't accept him as a ger. His father already converted. From the simple reading of the Medrash, it sounds like he killed him because he wasn't a ger anyway. And he was an Amaleki, so let's get a two-for-one special. You killed Shaul, and you're an Amaleki. Off with your head, right? So it sounds like, you know, Pashas is, the conversion was never valid. Pashas in the Medrash says the gerus wasn't chal. Vizet temua ma'oid. In fact, the Emek Brachas is very bewildering. We don't have a Zecher and Shas that such a halacha exists. This Gemara, so Zokter B'ayah Pramanchik, he wants to say Venira, the Vadai Zehadin, the Ein Mekamim and Gerim, any El Bnei HaMitzvah Sasei Shamachia Samolik, right? There's a fundamental problem here. Even if you don't go with the Medrash, and you technically could be Mekabel Gerim from Amalek, how would it ever happen? What happens? A guy walks into Beis Din, right? And he says, hi, I want to convert. Well, tell us a little about your story. What's your family history? Well, you know, my good old grandfather, Amalek, and etc. So what's Beis Din going to do? Right? Okay, now we're going to dramatize a little bit, but the point is Beis Din will take out their sword and chop off his head. Right? Is that what they're supposed to do now? Call question if you need Amalek. You don't need a Melech. You don't need a Melech. There's a lot of technicalities in that. But in a simple understanding is that Beis Din should have killed him. Now the Rambam said that we quoted before, the Chidah quoted, that if he wants to mekabel himself to become a Ger Toshav, technically he could. But why should we let him be kabel to Kabel Ter Toshav? before he even gets to that stage, we should chop off his head, potentially. Why should we even be nice to him?
He accepts the
mitzvahs b'nei noach. Okay, all right. Let's see. Zok emek bracha he wants to learn. The pshat in the medrash is the reason why we can't accept him as a ger is because he has a death warrant on his head. He's supposed to be killed. It's a technicality. We're not supposed to let him to get to first base, so to speak. We're not supposed to allow him to sign the dotted line to accept kavon upon himself mitzvahs because it's supposed to kill him. But if he did do it, then he's a full fledged yid.
Is it our problem or is it his problem?
Oh, okay, maybe that's a question. Ubeben Hagar Maleki, the David Tzarech Leimar, Shloi Hemin Loish and Iskaraviv. So Zokta Abayalei Pramanchik, you know what happened? This guy shows up to David, tells him the whole story of Shaul, then tells him, you know what, my father was a Hagar Maleki. You know what David said? I don't believe you. I don't buy your story. It doesn't smell right. Why would Bezin have accepted your father as a ger? So David didn't believe him. But Taka, he's saying, halachically, he could have been a ger, but David didn't want to buy his story. Kivan she'ein mekablam gerim. Since the rule is, usually you reject them and you have to kill them, right? You don't take gerim from like mistama shum bezin like kiblu, I said the ger. What kind of bezin would sign off on such a ger? So what's pshat the Gemara that says the Haman's descendants? It must be they snuck in the back door. They must have not filled out when they fill out the information sheet, when they came in, they skipped that page of their background, right? Then once they ready, saw, you know, they went to the mikvah, they got bris, and now they said, oh, by the way, we're just letting you know, and we got you. You know, okay, but the gerim was already, chal, and they worked it out. So he's trying his best to balance out the medrash with the Gemara, that really the medrash telling us halacha, that you shouldn't be makabel gerim. He says, what's pshat in the medrash? Pshat in the medrash is because they're supposed to have been killed. If they weren't killed, the gerim is takachal. So is the halacha a makabel gerim me'amolek? According to the emek bracha, yeah, that's the halacha. Al Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring it. Well, that's what Yosef was asking, right? So who's that mitzvah on exactly, right? Okay. All right, so we have to know exactly how that works. Nuchas Geiris, hopefully we'll get there, Be'ezer Hashem. The reason why this whole sugi was fascinating to me right now before Purim, besides actually getting to Purim, is because recently I saw Nuchas Geiris. So this was a way to me to get Nuchas Geiris into Purim. Baruch Hashem, we finished Gittins, now we're getting to Geiris. So this is how we got there. Okay, but this is the idea that really the Bavli and the Medrash don't have to have a steer, right? According to other Terutim, he said till now, it seems like there's a head-on collision, and Emek Bracha is trying his best to balance them out. Okay. Before we sit and finish the last Teretz, which I said before, we have 4.5. You'll see why I think I call it a half. It's its own, but it's I think a little fusion. Let's preface with the Gemara. So the question is, how many children did Haman have? So you open up the Megillah, and you see the 10 sons of Haman that got killed. So we think, if you read it on the face, right, art school edition, you read the simple translation of Pesukim, it seems like he has 10 sons. However, the Gemara Megillah Tezvav tells us there's no such man diyama like that. Everybody holds he had more than 10 sons. The question is how many? Says the Gemara, source number 12, Haman comes home one day really happy, says he brings the Pasuk, Vaisapalem Haman. Haman tells over to his household, as Kavoyd Ashray, his great wealth, he starts boasting how rich he is, his Swiss bank account, whatever he has, the Roiv Bonav, and his abundance of children, right? Now, what is he telling over his abundance of children? Who is he talking to? His wife. Does his wife not know how many children he has? I mean, that, right? That's the question over here. She doesn't know. Why should not know? Oh, so Pasha Pshat is, right? You see from the opening line over here, the fact he's telling over, he's boasting about his money. Right, it's one thing to boast about your money. Your wife doesn't know about you. You made some good investments, so one day I'll come home and say, "Listen, Maisa, I have $1 million in the bank." You know, so that's something to tell her. But to come home one day and boast that also I have a lot of other children, that's not usually something that someone would want to boast about. But Haman is on a whole different playing field, right? So obviously he's telling them a chiddush here. Says the Gemara, "V'kama roiv banav." So what? How much was it? How much were his abundance of children? Amar Rav. Rav says Lamed. He had 30 children. Asara Mesu. 10 died somewhere else. Wherever they died, not again. Asara nitlu, 10 were zeichet to get hung. The 10 of Asara's bnei Haman fame. Vasara, there were another 10 children that survived, and machzir na psachim. And they went ahead, and they went collecting dordu. They ended up totally, dirt broke. Rabban and Amri, oisen she machzir na psachim, shivim havya. You know how many sons he had? 10 died, 10 were hung, that's 20. And he had 70 more sons that walked around now, that were collecting dordo. That's 90 children. That's quite mind-boggling. The Pasuk says, Shivim balechem nishkeru, al tikri shivim,
Al tikri sivei. I'm sorry. Sivei melechem. Those who were satiated with bread, Nisku would have to go rent himself out. Says the Gemara Drasha. Al tikri sivei elashivim. There were actually 70. Says the last man there of the Gemara, Pella, for Rami bar Oma, Rami bar Abba Omar, Kulon Masayim Vishmoy Nahavya. He had 208 descendants, Haman. Crazy. Havya Shinemar, the Pas says, Viroiv Bonov, his abundance of children. Viroiv says, Viroiv is Gematria, Masayim Varbesas, 214. Why did he get to 208? The Gemara says, since it was written Chasar, it's missing a Vav, so Viroiv is only 208. Okay, so the Gemara ends off 30, 70, or 208 children. What is going on over here, right? The Ben Yayada explains, I didn't put it down the sheets, I just saw this afternoon. He explains the idea is as follows. What's Pshat that they're arguing how many children he had? Either 30, 70, and 208. No one's learning Pashat Pshat in the Pasuk that he had 10 because the Gemara starts over the Drasha, right? V'roiv Bonav, like we said before, that means he's coming to show off something that no one else knew, right? Again, show off his wealth that no one else knew. It's not such a chiddush. People have hidden accounts, some people, right? But V'roiv Bonav, right? That was the chiddush over here. That's why the Gemara dashed. The Gemara doesn't ask how much Kfoid Ashrei was. That's irrelevant. We want to know about the Roiv Bonav. The Madua. So the question is, ask the Ben Yad, I'm just reading it from, I didn't put it on the papers though, why is the Taka that did not all killed? Veshira, why were some of them left alive? Gamadua, why did these sons that were left alive have to go around and beg by the door? What happened to all the money? Hum was such an usher, right? The Khari had some money hidden away from the Kfarid Ashray that they shouldn't be able to get the money. So Zokta Ben Yada Shahaman, his spa'er lifnei oyavav, Hum was showing off in front of his wife and in front of his, you know, is the other government officials, how successful he was, b'chol davar. You want to know how successful I am? Not only do I have so much money that all you don't even know about, I have so much control over this Medina that I have so many children that you don't even know about. I was even mezan with your wives. He's telling Zokta Ben Yad, he was telling the other Sarim, you think you know what's going on? I know what's going on in your house, brother, you know what's going on. The Sarim heard this from Haman, says to Ben Yad, they were so infuriated by what Haman was telling them. They went home and they kicked their kids out of their house because the children were illegitimate children. They found out, you know, Yitaka do look like Haman. And they sent them out of the house, right? And they kicked Zokta Ben Yad, all the other Sarim kicked the kids out of the house. That's why they were Machsar Apsachim. Haman wasn't raising them because he didn't want them in his house. Now the Sarim, the other people of Shushan, didn't want them because they're all illegitimate children. So you had all these paupers walking around who tackle with the sentence of Haman. And he says, their identity was not well known to everybody. Therefore, they weren't able to be killed. It wasn't clear exactly who they, you know, exactly who they all were. And therefore, he says, that's why you have all this three different man in the Gemara. How many sons Haman had? Because everyone knew he had a lot, but they didn't know exactly who they all were, etc. Comes along the Rav Rashi Shlita. Pashas, of course. Let's see. So says the Heilige Rav Rashi Shlita Rav Yitzchak Yosef, who recently made headlines for various things. Big tzaddik, the son of Rav Chacham Ovadia, and he wants to say in his kuntres on Klali Hagiur, he says in source number 13, "V'etzam adavar eich kiblu oisam." He's come again to answer this basic question: what's pshat in the we have a stira on the Gemara and the Medrash? He says he brings all the terutz in very bekitzer. He says in the brackets there, he says, "Uma gam shahay lahaman banam harbe." How many many children? V'yesh ayim 208 kaminyan v'roiv banav kwa shkwasam gemgila and gemsikta etc. Fine. The children that eventually ended up in Bnei Brak, those descendants were from these children, these illegitimate children of Haman, according to this pshat, maybe, that even his wives didn't know. Like the pasuk is pashas mashma, like the pasuk we just said, his own wife didn't know about all his children because they were illegitimate children. So he's kind of, to me, he's kind of fusing some intuitive he said before. Could he be Mekal again from Malik? Could he not be Mekal again from Malik? Pasha says, the Gemara says you could. Medrash says you can't. Okay, so what are you going to have to say? We didn't exactly know who these people were. Haman had so many descendants. It was such a mishkababble of descendants. Not necessarily because of Sancheiriv even. Right? The one truth to be said before is because of Sancheiriv. You don't have to even say because of Sancheiriv. You can say Haman himself messed up his lineage because he had all his illegitimate children. Eventually, some of them converted. Eventually, some of them end up in Yeshiva Bnei Brak. Chazal figured out Baruch HaKadosh, similar to what we said before, right? That's how they knew. So again, it's a little bit of a fusion of some of the previous Terutim, but it's a new idea in saying that it's actually Haman's direct descendants. It could be paternal lineage, and that's how we're going to paskin that Mekabim Gamer from Amalek. I saw in the Sefer Toiv L'Hoyos, which is a fascinating Sefer by a contemporary author, Yosef Chaim Sofer, tremendous Talmud Chacham, so from the Sefer of the Sfardi families. He says, what pshat, why is it according to Medrash, ein mekam gerim amalek? Why is it in understanding the Torah, why would it not be like, we understand we don't want to take we don't take Amon Amoyev because they acted inappropriately. Amalek is bad. But why specifically do we not want to take Gerim from Amalek? So he wants to say, very interesting. He says, the Pasuk says, we're going to read, Be'ez Hashem on Shabbat, Zohar es Asher Asa Lecha Amalek Baderech, Betzeischa Mimitzrayim, Asher Korcha Baderech, Pasuk says, Vayezanev Becha, Kol Nechashol Macharecha. Rashi there says, Vayezanev Becha, Makaz Zonov, Chaytech Milois V'zor Klapma. They did some act of showing a disgrace for the Bris Mila, and they, so to speak, like through their Arla, Klapma Mila, showing that, you know, we're rejecting this. V'chein HaMenesh Tanchuma, etc. He says, the Rabbeinu Elezer Migamayz, that's the Rekech, says in his Pirish on, over there, in Pirish Tar L'Dvarim, Shama Kosav, Vayizanev B'cha, B'gamacher Zem Mila. L'mila Pirek, L'chein Ein Mekam Gerim Ramalek. Zok the Rekech, since they rejected Mila and they were making a bazillion of Mila, he says that's pshat to aim a kam gerim of Mamalek. What's pshat? Says a sefer toiv lahoydas top of left column there. Biar advarim psiat deshmai ki kaimlo. We have a klal in many places. Boz ledover yichov elvoy. If someone makes a disgrace of something, that thing can never stand in his merit. But b'masha adam moyes mezalzal kishetzarchay. When if a person disgraces something and mevaza something, if he subsequently needs it, he won't be able to get benefit from it. What's the prime example of this? Over the David HaMelech, Shekara Kanaf Beged the Shaul HaMelech, by David, the story, he tore some of the garments of Shaul at the end of David HaMelech's life. The Pasuk says he was not able to get warm from clothing because he had one point in his life was Bevaza clothing. So it says, back in Chaim Sofer, ukishesorchu Yisrael v'amru al Haman, halechem haklokel shenichnas v'ini yitzah. They had always digestion problems because again they were disgracing the mon. Ivdu hamayla shalor hayutzrichim lespanes. They were able to relieve themselves. Oid harbe kenoid. There's many examples of this. V'chein kan, so too over here says the Sofer shebiz l'mila. We see that Amalek disgraced Mila, ain't a yachal zakais l'mayla de Mila. So he'll never be able to get the Mila of Mila. In order for a person to become a ger, there's three components really, but two of them are ma'akev. The three components are tefila, Mila, and carbon, right? Nowadays, we know carbon's not ma'akev, and meheri, and bana beis, all the game will have to bring carbonus. But if you can't do Mila, you're excluded, you're out of geiris, right? So imkain misha ma'as b'mila ka'amalek ain't yachal lom in the sky. He'll never be able to get the mila of a bris mila because he was m'ma'is b'mila. Lufize, he says, hutam chadosh v'nifla b'ir divrei ha'mechilta she'im ka'am gerim ha'amalek v'duket. It's very nice pshat, I think, why dafka im ka'am gerim ha'amalek, because they were ma'as b'mila, so mila can never stand for them to be a schus. There is an interesting machlokes in the beginning of Sun Reish Samaches in Yerdeya, when you get to Hilchas Mila, if someone is a sris and is not able physically to do mila, whether or not it can be makabel him or not. The short answer is yes, but if someone is not a sris, but he has other medical conditions, and whatever reason he can't have a bris mila, halach is he cannot become a ger. So it's a similar idea. I'm saying halachically, here we're saying a little more, not it's not halachic, it's more drushy, but the idea is that here we're saying that the schus of mila is taken away from them, and that's ma'akav ger, therefore they won't be able to be zoiche to bris. So I wanted just to conclude with a little bit of machshava from Rav Shor Shlita. Maybe tie back to the beginning. We said that from Bnei Banav Shalhamu Lom Toim B'Bnei Brak, and that was Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat, who was the Spitz Rebbe, and he was the prime example of a Rebbe for Klal Yisrael. So he brings from various Sfarim HaKadoshim in Source 15 over here that we know Chazal tell us that B'Shas Ma'an Torah we had to be a Kadosh Baruch had a Kafalim Harkagigas, a Kadosh Baruch, so to speak, had to force us into taking the Torah. Right, and we know that Hadar Kiblu of Me'ach HaShverish, that was the completion of Kabbalah's Torah, Me'ach HaShverish, and in the times of Mordechai. So he brings over here that what is the idea that we had to be Kafalim Harkagigas, and the reason why he says, as Fasemis explains, the reason why they had to be at that point, they lost their Geshmak and the Ratzon for Torah, was because the Mechamas HaMalek was right before them. Somehow the Mechamas HaMalek cooled them off, like the Chazal tell us, right? The Amalek was the one who cooled off the bath, right? So Amalek caused us to have a certain lack of a Ratzon, of a Geshmak for Torah, and that's why we needed to have the Kafalim Harkagigas. Right, and that he says he brings a Medrash Tanchuma in the second column, in the second paragraph on the right side. He says Medrash Tanchuma says ki atam shekafleim har kegigas haya al chelak haTorah shebal peh hanum beyigia. That was because the part of Torah that requires more yigia, more amelus, and more effort, that's Torah shebal peh. He brings that Amalek is menagi la'omel haTorah. Amalek doesn't want Klal Yisrael to be occupied in the work of Torah. Amalek Omer Machir Sha'omala Tairu Chas Visham Sheker. Amalek, right, you break up the word, it's Omel Kuf. Omel Kuf, Omel means work, Kuf means it's a remez, idea of Shav, it means like a thin of Sheker. And Amalek always says, you don't have to work hard, just sit on your, you know, your recliner, sit on your hammock outside with a pina colada and learn Torah. You can read Torah. But Amalek doesn't want, as he says, to be Isaac in the Yegiyas HaTorah. Dai b'zeh shalom din, just learn Torah. V'hu echnes b'chlai yisra k'riris ha'meh Torah. Amalek is the ones who put into Klai Yisra this idea of just being lax and a little too relaxed when it comes to Torah. He says, the Chazal tells, Goda Talmud Shmei V'dei Maisa. What does that mean? It brings from the Klosher Kav Goyin in Sefer Eretz Tzvi, Shakavanu, Shalimud, Ve'ez, Inyan, Shia, Besugia, Sashas. Whatever, anytime a person is a orangutan in a Sugya, Goyim, Shechelke, Asiya, Shaladim, Yea, Yaisa, Mezuchacham, Yais, Tevim. It makes the person more Gehoibin. It uplifts the person. Whatever Sugya a person is learning, when he sets him, when he puts his mind in the Sugya and he gets focus on the sugya, his body becomes a holier body. The Torah is settling in him, he becomes a more gehoibin mensch. V'chein Amalek garam, what Amalek was causing when they caused a rifyon in Torah, shelo yirtzu b'limud haTorah shebal peh, ki Amalek misnagin al tikun asiyah. They didn't want us to get that extra chelik of Torah that'll be mezachich a person. V'chein haYitzarech, therefore we had the kfiya of the mountain by mountain Torah. It says, "Emuva mizeh." What's our avoided during these Dimei Apurim? What does it mean to fight against Amalek? To fix and to strengthen our Yegiyas HaTorah through physically getting involved in Limud HaTorah. He says, right, the Chazal says, Amalek came and refied him because Sherafu Yudeim in HaTorah. What does it mean, Rafu Yudeim? It was rough our minds from Torah. What's Rafu Yudeim? Our hands were rough from Torah. He says, the pshat is that Torah over here is being nimshal yadayim because our hands are the most physical part of our body that is involved in asiyah and physically making things. Rafu yadayim b'Torah once it means that they were weakened us in our melas b'Torah. We didn't go like this anymore. We didn't move our hands. We didn't get involved in the sugya. Again, we just sat back with a little too much relaxation and we're in orangutan in the sugya. He says the way to eradicate Amalek, the way to get rid of it is this idea of strengthening ourselves in Torah. We have the chizik tonight, we could spend this chizik, here we are in Yud Aleph, that after the fast of early time this Esther came to learn that's the gevaldik chizik in Yegiyas HaTorah, even though it wasn't so much amelis tonight, but everyone should be mechazik in more alumnus. There's a lot more alumnus in the sugya here, and we should be zaycha with this to eradicate the Shmoy Shalom Alek, and Mizrechat Gulu Shayim Herbi Amenu. Amen.